One thing I love about the stories you hear each week on the show is that every brand starts with a story. Behind every product is the founder who took a chance on an idea, overcame challenges, and worked hard to bring it to life. Walmart is making it easier for customers to discover products from small brands and support the people behind them. With thousands of small brands available through Walmart, customers can discover innovative products while learning about the entrepreneurs and stories that brought them to life. By helping connect these brands with communities across the country, Walmart is creating more opportunities for founders to grow and share what makes their products unique. Visit walmart.com to learn more.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Metals One has just released financial results for the year 2025. It was a transformational year for the company. A lot went on. And here to tell us what he makes of it, it's Metals One's Managing Director, Dan Malling. Dan, hello.
Hi, Elsa. Good to speak again. 2 days in a row.
Yes, indeed, indeed. So financial results, quite a lot packed into these results, but then you did do quite a lot in 2025. Give us the bullet points as far as you see it.
Yeah, look, I mean, it sort of kicked off the year with the warrant financing, which was brought in, you know, a chunk of change, some sort of £15 million. And that really set us up with an opportunity to go and roll out the business development strategy. We had some great assets introduced out of the US in relation to some gold and uranium stories that we covered in the report. And they now form the basis of what is the new strategy and direction for the remainder of the year. And then obviously the follow-on investment into Lions Bay Capital. And obviously that's culminated or been consummated recently in the South African gold deal that we're working on.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of post-period events as well, hasn't there? Which was the subject of our conversation yesterday. But let's just stick for a moment with 2025. The other major factor in the results was the impairment for the Scandinavian nickel. Tell us a little bit about the thinking behind that decision to impair.
Yeah, look, we went through, as shareholders may recall, we had a PEA done over the Black Schist project a couple of years ago. And at that point in time, we based that PEA around some nickel price in forecasts. It's fair to say the nickel price hasn't recovered as much as we expected it to have at the point in time of setting that PEA. So the whole economic rationale around that project really needs to see the nickel price improving something considerably from where we are now. You know, that project is highly leveraged to a 10 to 20% rise in the nickel price. We're just not seeing that right now. So the board's taken, I guess, a conservative view to write down that carrying value, but we'd hope to benefit from any uplift in the nickel price in future periods.
So as we just mentioned, the focus really shifts to the uranium portfolio that you built in 2025, the suite of gold assets that you put together, and there's also some copper and graphite as well sort of thrown into the mix too. So there's quite a lot of complexity and opportunity in the portfolio that you did build in 2025.
Yeah, that's right. And most of those projects that you're seeing there are, you know, they're now well funded. I guess that's the other point. You know, our role has been to be an early stage financier, whether that's through a pre-IPO into an IPO listed investment part of the portfolio. Or in the case of South Africa, you know, we've been able to fund that project through a business rescue process, which we believe will unlock, you know, massive upside, you know, to that as a business and strategy going forward.
So 2025 really was a transformational year, but 2026 has been sort of fairly transformational too, or perhaps we should say the transformation continues. Where do you see Metals One heading? I mean, what's the company going to look like in a couple of years in your mind?
Look, I think we're sort of, you know, we are still listed as a mineral explorer, mining explorer. It's fair to say we're morphing into more a mining project developer and financier. I don't like saying mining investment house, but it has that feel to it. You know, intentionally investing in projects that have, you know, slightly different risk profiles. but I think we've got the balance right at the moment. We've probably got 50% of the portfolio into development near production type stories. And then the other half is weighted towards that exploration sort of risk, which comes with some big upside. But I guess ultimately the drill bit will prove those theories to be correct or not.
Yeah, so we talked recently about the Lions Bay transaction. You guys are going to go to around 50% of Lions Bay, the venture listed company that's developing the South African assets. Just close us out, Dan, with your thoughts about how the news flow is going to look for Metals One, with particular reference to Lions Bay, but perhaps anything else that you see coming along on the horizon too.
Yeah, look, focusing on Lions Bay, I mean, as documented in the RNS yesterday, they've got an RTO process underway. So there's dialogue with the exchange. There's obviously a big document that they have to get together, shareholder approvals around that. And probably the main information that will go into that document relates to a CPR around the Barbara sort of mining asset. So those things are going to take a good 6 to 8 weeks. And then alongside that is the Section 11 notification and granting of effectively the mineral licenses into Lions Bay Resources. That process can take anywhere from another 2 to 4 weeks. But again, both those items in terms of the Section 11, the CPR, and the readmission document are key to that transaction, I guess, consummating and our equity position being realised. Outside of that, we've got an active program through Fidelity Minerals now, increased exposure from 10% up to 40% in what is their current exploration program. So we'll be leaning heavily into information flow with that group. So we're quite excited, I guess, to be have that exposure. And then our own operated programs, they are up to the team to come up with the right sort of exploration plan and commit to our own drilling programs, possibly in Swales. I think we'd like to package up maybe a little bit more land around that play before we start drilling. So keep an eye out for that. And obviously the guys at Liza on our uranium blocks, well advanced in assessing whether we're going to have hopefully economically producible uranium from those piles.
So, well, we'll be watching with great interest for now, though. Thanks very much for joining us, Dan.
Great. Thanks, Alistair.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.